Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The attorney representing former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin asked the court to declare a mistrial, citing misconduct in closing arguments and ongoing comments from public officials they feel will influence the jury's decision.
I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law.
U.S. Representative Maxine Waters, the California Democrat, had joined protesters on Saturday and pressed for protests to escalate if Derek Chauvin was found not guilty. The Arizona Senate will begin a major audit of the 2020 presidential election next week, with results likely to be ready by mid-May. What's odd about this, the Maricopa County's Board of Supervisors refused to cooperate, and it took the Arizona Senate 2.5 months to win a court battle to uphold their right under law to ensure election integrity. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Global stock markets took a hit Tuesday after Wall Street retreated from record highs. London and Frankfurt opened lower, while Shanghai and Tokyo also declined. Hong Kong and Seoul did gain. Standard & Poor's 500 index lost a half a percentage point on declines for tech, bank, and energy stocks. It appears traders are uneasy about a rise in inflation and interest rates. The European Union generated more sanctions against Myanmar military leaders and army-controlled companies ahead of a regional meeting to discuss the worsening crisis in Myanmar after army leaders deposed the elected government. The Council of the European Union's latest sanctions target 10 individuals and 2 military-controlled companies already subject to sanctions by the United States, Britain, and other governments. Walter Mondale, the influential former senator, vice president, and Democrat nominee for president, is dead. Mondale, who served as President Jimmy Carter's vice president from 1977 to 81, died Monday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was 93. We are USA Radio News.
Tech. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Sportscaster Joe Buck is the next guest host on Jeopardy. Dan Rocky with the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Sportscaster Joe Buck will get a chance to give the answers on Jeopardy later this year. Buck will reportedly take the podium this summer as one of a series of guest hosts for the popular game show. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers recently ended his run as host with Anderson Cooper, Bill Whitaker, Mayim Bialik, Savannah Guthrie, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta in line to host as well. Buck is best known for his work calling NFL games on Fox and 22 of the last 24 World Series. The show has had a number of guest hosts, serving 2 weeks since the passing of longtime host Alex Trebek last November.
Jeopardy has been on the air since 1964 and has over 8,000 shows to its credit. As expected, Ingenuity, the helicopter Perseverance, flew to Mars, completed a successful test flight from the Jezero crater, and achieved an altitude of about 10 feet before touching down 40 seconds later. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory explains the differences between flying on Earth compared to Mars.
And you know, the amazing feat of all this is that Mars only has 1% of the volume of atmosphere that the planet has. That our planet has. Now, it's partially offset by the fact that the gravitational pull of Mars is 37% of the Earth, but this is why you need, for a little 4-pound helicopter, you need a 4 feet wingspan and rotational speed of about 4,200 RPMs to get that lift capability on that planet.
USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Can you imagine going from Navy SEAL to a best-selling author? You know, this is the story of Jack Carr, a former Navy SEAL who led special operation teams as a team leader, platoon commander, troop commander, and task unit commander. Over his 20 years in naval special warfare, he transitioned from an enlisted SEAL sniper to a junior officer leading assault and sniper teams in Iraq and Afghanistan, to a platoon commander practicing counterinsurgency in the southern Philippines, to commanding a special operations task unit in the most Iranian-influenced section of southern Iraq throughout the tumultuous drawdown of U.S. forces. And now he's writing novels. But you want to spend a bunch of time with Jack. And I always appreciate whenever we can get a chance to talk, get caught up on the family and everything. But also just to hear his real life story, though so much of his real life story is intertwined in the books he writes. And his latest book is The Devil's Hand, from the New York best-selling author of Savage Son, and some other news, too, that we're going to be sharing with you in just a moment. Hey, Jack, good to be connected again and good to be talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I always love talking with you.
Yeah, how's the fam? How's the fam doing?
Everybody is great. Kids are in school here in Utah, so that's wonderful. It was a little dicey there about this time last year when everybody came home to, quote unquote, help me write my novel under the same roof, and everybody working from home can relate. As soon as I closed those office doors, it was like a magnet for the kiddos.
Oh,
but that's how it goes.
Never fails. You got knocking at the door, and dogs, cats, goldfish, everything. They all want
exactly.
Attention, right?
That's exactly right. It was interesting.
Well, before we talk about The Devil's Hand, your latest thriller, you got some great news. You and I talked about this before. I think we talked about it when we were face-to-face in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show. And that was exciting time, and I missed it this year. Obviously, everybody missed it, and hopefully next year we're back face-to-face in Las Vegas for the next SHOT Show. But it was so much fun. But we talked about at that time that you were negotiating with, taking this series to the big screen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I missed. I've been going to SHOT Show since, I think, 2003 was my first one. Just trying to make sure my guys had the best gear and equipment to go downrange with, and the SEAL teams. And oftentimes a lot of that was private sector type gear, because the private sector moves so much faster than the military bureaucracy.
Right.
But but yeah, it's filming right now in Los Angeles. There's 350 people on set. Chris Pratt is starring. Of course, he who's in Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers, Jurassic World. He's just a fantastic human being. And Antoine Fuqua is directing, who did Tears of the Sun, Magnificent Seven, Training Day, Shooter, Equalizer, who is just one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. I was on set for a week, about 2 weeks ago, and it was like a military operation out there. I mean, everything from logistics with craft food services to the armor that's handed back and forth, these different weapons and night vision optics and all that stuff, to the transportation person that's dealing with all the vehicles, to the director who's like the task unit commander or the commanding officer, to Chris Pratt who's like the platoon commander, troop commander on the tactical level. So it reminded me of a military operation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Pratt's all over the character, isn't he? He loves James Reese.
People that have, he does, and he people that have seen him in other things where he's a little more humorous and that sort of thing, they're going to be surprised. I mean, he is dark and gritty and violent and primal, just like the novel. So, but he's human, and that's why I wanted him to do this, because he's all likable.
This is a man's movie. exactly. Yeah, this is it. We all can't wait for this. When are they expecting to release it? Because it's going to be coming to Amazon Prime, right?
That's right. So it's an 8-part series coming to Amazon Prime, I think sometime in 2022, though you never be entirely sure about these things. But to the best of my knowledge, at some point in 2022, it should be hitting screens, hopefully the same day that my fifth novel comes out. That would be ideal if I could work with Amazon on that one.
Man, you keep spitting these out like biscuits, man. What's going on here?
What a year. So, I love it. I'm deep into book 5 right now, and I'll be turning that in this summer and putting the final touches on that, and then jumping right into 6.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, is, I mean, his books aren't just like a couple hundred pages. I mean, they're novels. I mean, they are tomes in every sense of the word. But the detail and everything that you bring, of course, you know, for you, this has just got to be such a great exercise, because you are, you know, able to utilize your experience as a former SEAL team member. And then, of course, your God-given gift of being able to write and storytell.
Thank you. It sure is. I mean, growing up, I read all the greats from Tom Clancy, Nelson DeMille, David Morrell, AJ Quinnell, J.C. Pollock, Mark Holden, Stephen Hunter, all these guys who had protagonists with backgrounds I wanted in real life one day. And I realized, looking back, what I was doing was really giving myself an education in the art of storytelling. And then, of course, I pile on top of that the academic study of warfare and terrorism and insurgencies and counterinsurgencies, and then the personal experience from the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan. And all that kind of intertwines together as I got out of the military and continues to inform my writing today.
Mm-hmm. Jack, can you put up with me for just a minute? I want to take a side road here, only because of your experience in Afghanistan. We got news this week that the president wants to draw down totally. And there's mixed reviews on removing U.S. forces out of there. We've done this before, and we've paid a big price. It's almost like, you know, we've got this Vietnam complex where we, you know, would take over some property, we would give it up, and then we're back to fight and lose more people on another day, which is so frustrating. What's your read on the president's decision to draw down the troops from Afghanistan?
Well, on the political side, if it works out, he can take the new administration can take credit. If it doesn't work out, he can blame it on the previous administration, because this was in motion well before the election. But for me, so we have 20 years now almost that we've been in Afghanistan, and expeditionary counterinsurgency is an inherently difficult task. There's a reason Afghanistan is called the graveyard of empires. And when I was there years ago, there was this thing, and it was the Afghans have, or the Americans have all the watches, but we have all the time from the Afghan side of the house. And that is very true. And all you need to do is take a look at history in order to calculate that into your battle plans at the strategic level. But really, what we went in there first was to disrupt al-Qaeda operations, destroy al-Qaeda operations, which we did. And then we had some shifting goals there, which does happen in warfare, in wartime. And we have reconstruction, nation building, counter-corruption, bribery, extortion, drug trafficking, that sort of thing. And then addressing those terrorist sanctuaries in Pakistan and Iran. So it's those shifting goals that have really, really pulled us into the graveyard of empires. And it has that name for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, because so much has happened in the last 20 years. I mean, whether we're talking about human rights, rights for women there. We're talking Iran deja vu one more time, aren't we? I mean, with what could happen, because, you know, the Taliban is going to come back with a vengeance. And what I understand, some of the early intel is saying that they're already, you know, they're rallying their troops.
Oh, sure. And that could happen whether we spend 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years. So,
yeah, exactly. We'll leave it there, and we're going to talk about Devil's Hand on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with New York
Times best-selling author Jack Carr. His just released book, The Devil's Hand, and also we shared about good news that it is going to Amazon Prime. They are in production now. Chris Pratt stars in the Terminal List, which is what it's going to be a series right now initially of 8 episodes.
That's right. Look at the 8-episode series coming sometime in 2022.
Well, that's it. Well, we're on the edge of our seats. We can't wait for it. It's going to be a great series. You just know that the way everything is put together, and, of course, with Jack Carr's name on it, we can't mess around. We got to honor his brilliance and excellence and his tradition that he's established in all his novels. The Devil Hand, a thriller, no exception. Give us the background on this one, if you would, Jack.
Yeah, so I like to have a different theme for each and every novel. And that first one was really about revenge without constraint. The second one, True Believer, was a story of a journey of redemption. The third one, Savage Son, explored the dark side of man through the dynamic of hunter and hunted. And this one, I wanted to take a breath and put myself in the enemy's shoes and take a look at what they might have learned by watching us on the field of battle for the last 20 years of war. So if I was Iran, China, Russia, North Korea, a super-empowered individual or a terrorist organization, what would I have learned by essentially watching the United States play poker, looking at our cards, seeing how we play those cards, and then taking those lessons and applying them to future battle plans? So I wrote the outline for this novel back in August of 2019. And then the catalyst that moves the story forward is a bioweapon. So I got deep into the study of infectious diseases and the weaponization of infectious diseases, particularly from the end of World War II up to today. So that meant when COVID hit, I was hypersensitive. But also the basis of the novel being what the enemy's learning by watching us, they're learning from our response to COVID. They're learning from a summer of civil unrest. They're learning from a very contentious political season. So I got to weave all those things into the novel, and it ended up being a lot more timely than I initially thought when I outlined it in August of 2019.
You know, it's quite interesting, if not even frustrating at the same time, Jack Carr, that, you know, this country that is built on freedom. I mean, this is what our Constitution talks about, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people, you know, a land of the free and home of the brave. But yet that is so it's so sensitive to inertia, counterinsurgency, ideas that come into play, because that's what America is. America is about an idea, isn't it? And because of that, it's suspect, or it's vulnerable to other ideas, you know, colliding with it. Because if we don't know the main idea that's holding this together, we're going to get knocked off course, and I think this has happened a little bit, don't you think?
Well, society certainly is fragile, and people who have that's why travel is so important. Going around the world and being able to immerse yourself in these other cultures, it really helps you realize that society is fragile, and only for the almost slim part of human history have we been able to outsource people to put food on our table. Have we been able to outsource our protection by calling 911? For the rest of human history, we had to do that ourselves. We had to be self-reliant. And then today, really, what this country was founded on was letting these ideas go out there and compete in this market. Have our opinions go out there and compete in the marketplace of ideas. And what we're seeing today is the erosion of that idea that we can get, that we have this freedom of speech and the best ideas will percolate to the top. We can argue. But in the end, because everyone, we can get out there and we can compete in this marketplace, well, the best ideas ride to the top. Well, now we're seeing the erosion of that. We're seeing the erosion of that First Amendment, which is very disconcerting to me as a citizen.
Well, as a citizen, as a father, you're raising 3 kids. I mean, you know, you want not only the America that you grew up with, but you want a better America that's going to ensure their success, you know, for them and their family and their grandkids going forward. It's the legacy that's there. You know, Jack, I just keep wondering, where's the passion for these key elements? Have we just so lost grip and lost understanding of the value of these key elements to our freedom that we're just not, you know, we don't even know what we're fighting for and how to fight for it? It's like, okay, so there's First Amendment encroachment. We lose some liberties here. Second Amendment. I mean, just go right on down the list. I mean, even to the point that you've got some, you know, political figures talking, you know, craziness, like doing away altogether with our U.S. Constitution.
Oh, it's, yeah, we, growing up in the 80s, of course, we, the First Amendment used to be that thing that we could all rally around. No matter how we felt about anything else, we would stand up for your right to say something, especially if we disagreed with you. That was something that bound us together as Americans. Now we see those traditional guardians of that First Amendment, from politicians, lawyers, publishing houses, newspaper,
media,
exactly, actively calling for censorship and cancellation, so those ideas cannot compete in the marketplace. So it is, we're definitely seeing a shift, and this next 10 years is going to be pivotal in the history of our country, particularly as it pertains to some of those core freedoms that in the past have bound us together as Americans.
Well, it's intellectually disenfranchising. That's what's happening, whereas we're dumbing ourselves down here by embracing this new doctrine, this new cancel culture, doctrine that's out there in the sphere, and we have to be sensitive to that. Getting back to Devil's Hand, another aspect of the book, of course, we got to bring a president into the story, right? So tell us about this new president,
right,
what he's doing. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so it was time. So it was time for a shift, and I did this once again in August of 2019. And I knew that I needed to put a different president in there. So I switched parties. Democrat is in there, but a young Democrat, somebody who fought in Afghanistan, was wounded in Afghanistan, came from a very privileged background, used that privilege to start a company right at the right time in Silicon Valley. So he has financial backing, but he's on the Democrat side of the House. And I wanted to create a different character because it's something I don't understand, wanting to go into politics, wanting to compromise principles, all those sorts of things. So I created this character kind of in JFK's image, time to heal the country, that sort of thing. But there's a twist. There's a twist. You might not be there for the reasons that people think. So that was fun for me to write.
Exactly. We love mystery, Jack.
Right.
Yeah, this is so just teasing us just a little bit here. So the other thing that you've got, you mentioned bioweapons. Bioweapons part of the storyline too.
That's right. That's right. And that's that was something I didn't know anything about because I didn't really have any touch points with that in the military. So this one became very a lot of academic research went into this novel, talking to people, reading journals, articles, of course, books that had something to do with the history of bioweapons, infectious diseases, weaponization of infectious diseases, all those things. So because it wasn't something I really knew much about before. And I got to weave together this tapestry because a lot of books, articles, journals, and people you talk to will leave a couple things out here and there as they're talking about these sensitive subjects. But I think it, much like a journalist, doesn't just go to one source and then write an article. When you're going to all these different people, all these different sources, and you start weaving together the story, you start putting it together like a puzzle. So I would be very surprised if I'm very far off in what I created in this novel.
Well, and of course, you do this all with the backdrop of, as you mentioned earlier, of a country dealing with a pandemic. I should say, not only a country, but a world dealing with a pandemic.
Right. So it's I had to write it, of course, ahead of time. So I had to project forward as to what impact COVID will have left on our country as people are getting vaccinated, as the country hopefully starts moving slowly back towards something that we would recognize as pre-2020. So I had to think about that a little bit and weave that into the storyline as well. But what the enemy has learned is that, hey, there's a difference between infection rates and mortality rates. And if they see the way we reacted with these mortality rates, well, imagine one that has an 80%, an 85%, a 95% mortality rate. Which is what Marburg variant U brings upon us in this next one for a very specific reason, and also a twist to that side of it.
Well, Jack, you've done it again. The Devil's Hand, your latest novel, and we've got another one coming
down the road that I'm sure you'll be back to talk about. We appreciate the time and congratulations on this and the series that will be coming out hopefully by next
Attention
year.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The attorney representing former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin asked the court to declare a mistrial, citing misconduct in closing arguments and ongoing comments from public officials they feel will influence the jury's decision.
I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law.
U.S. Representative Maxine Waters, the California Democrat, had joined protesters on Saturday and pressed for protests to escalate if Derek Chauvin was found not guilty. The Arizona Senate will begin a major audit of the 2020 presidential election next week, with results likely to be ready by mid-May. What's odd about this, the Maricopa County's Board of Supervisors refused to cooperate, and it took the Arizona Senate 2.5 months to win a court battle to uphold their right under law to ensure election integrity. USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We're in Arthur's Corner right now. You know what I'm talking about? We got some great authors, and we're really, here we go from Jack Carr to Tom Clavin and his new book, Blood and Treasure, Daniel Boone and the Fight for America's First Frontier. A little background here, okay? We're talking about the mid-18th century, and in the 13 colonies founded by Great Britain, anxious colonists desperate to conquer and settle North America's first frontier beyond the Appalachian Mountains commence a series of bloody battles. These violent conflicts are waged against the Native American tribes whose lands they covet, the French and the mother country itself, in an American revolution destined to reverberate around the world. Tom Clavin joins us now. Tom, congratulations on the new book. Awesome.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad to be on your show.
Well, always good to have you here. You know, I always look forward to our time when we can we can talk. My wife just said, I love that. She mouthed, I love that book. You know, this is the thing that happens in this household. Whenever I'm looking for a book, I know it's not where it is, it's with her. Cause,
well, at least you know that. You don't have to look any further.
Yeah, she has good taste, no doubt about it. So tell us about Blood and Treasure.
Well, we wanted to do a book. Bob Drury and I had done a book a few years ago called The Heart of Everything That Is, which is about the Sioux leader, Red Cloud, and the Plains Indians, the Sioux tribes of the Plains.
in the, mostly the 1850s and 1860s, when pretty much the frontier was almost gone, and as were the Indian tribes, those that remained were being forced onto reservations, and whatever territories they once owned were pretty much being given up. And it occurred to us, you know, we're sort of like we already told the story of that ending of that you know, part when things were being, a lot of loose ends were being tied up in the 1850s and 60s and 70s. But where did it all begin? We wanted to go back and say, how did that pattern get established of you know, explorers and settlers moving west, the Indians retreating until they had nowhere else to retreat to? And so we wanted to do a book that dealt very much with the Native American people of the 1700s. And mm-hmm. we wanted to also, can we find a character who sort of opens that doors for us that, you know, we want, and Daniel Boone occurred to us because, first of all, for most people, there is some name recognition. But also, he turned out to be a much more fascinating character than we anticipated. You know, there's a cliche from the TV show that some people may still remember, starring Bess Parker.
Right.
But he was much, much more than that. If I had to connect the Daniel Boone of our book to somebody that has been on a TV show or a big screen, I'd select the Daniel Day-Lewis character from Last of the Mohicans, if people remember that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much that was James Fenimore Cooper based his character on Daniel Boone. Hawkeye was based on Daniel Boone, who was the best shot, you know, probably in the entire United States at the time with a long rifle. And so we wanted to use Daniel Boone as an adventurer and explorer, but also somebody who was very, very connected to the Indian tribes. He was not somebody out to destroy them by any means. In fact, he respected and admired them. And when he was out in the forest, he dressed like an Indian. He was an Indian, but happened to have white skin.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's where you get the little bit of the caricature of the coonskin cap. But, you know, because that was all in his own way, maybe his little signature. But everything else about him, at least that we see in pictures, was very, very much Native American, except, you know, he did have pants on. He wasn't running around with a loincloth of any type.
Not that far from it, though. He was he would dress like an Indian, and Indians did not wear pants.
Yes.
They had, you know, he had leggings to protect against snake bites and things like that, but he did not wear a coonskin cap. He actually did the Indian way. He had his hair arranged with bear grease. So he was very much...
With bear grease, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, there were no barbershops out in the frontier, so he would grow his hair long. And in fact, there's a story in the book that... The book has some funny stories in it, too, even though there is blood and treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one part where he had done one of his longest hunts. He was gone for months and months and months and months, and then he arrives back on Christmas Day, I think it was, Christmas Day, and back at the settlement where his wife and younger children lived and other settlers were there. And there's a holiday dance going on, and he walks into the cabin where the dance is being held, and his wife is there, and there's some music playing. And he goes up to her to invite her to dance, and she has no idea who he is.
Oh, my gosh.
he looked like somebody that just, you know, from the end of all times. He is covered with hair and bear grease and everything, and she's repulsed by him, like, get out of here with you. And that's when he starts laughing, and she recognizes his laugh and realizes, oh, my God, this is my husband.
That's when you know you've been away too long, Tom.
Yeah, you've been away too long.
Yeah, not only that you look all grubby and everything like that, but even when your own wife doesn't recognize you, it's like, okay.
Yes, it does get lost.
That's hysterical. What else about Daniel Boone that you discovered? I mean, here he is, this adventurer, which is endemic to most male figures. But, I mean, he was an adventurer of a different type.
He was. He really enjoyed being out in the woods. And I don't mean like on a Boy Scout trip, you know, he was gone for a few days. You know, sometimes he did have companions with him. He had other frontiersmen like him who enjoyed going on these long hunts, which were many times quite necessary to make some money and support your family, was to go on these long hunts that could last for months and come back bringing furs and meat and other things that you got out there. But sometimes he was completely alone, and sometimes he was accompanied by as his sons got older, or his brother. And he loved that solitude out there. Mm-hmm. And whenever he came back, and he was a devoted family man. He and his wife were married 56 years until she passed away. They had 10 children together. He was devoted to his wife and his children.
It's a wonder they could have 10 children as often as he was gone.
Well, there's that brings up another story in our book involving Boone and his wife when he comes back from one of his longest hunts and adventures, and that included being kidnapped and all this kind of stuff by Indians. And she presents him with a daughter, and he does the math and realizes he was not here to conceive that child. So she confesses, well, I thought you were dead, so I had an affair with your brother.
At least you kept it in the family, for goodness sakes, right?
That's exactly what Boone said. He said, at least you kept it in the family. And he raised that daughter as his own. And, in fact, Jemima Boone, who they called her Jemima, became his favorite child. It was with her and her family where Boone spent his last years and died in her home.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. Well, my head's spinning a little bit, and I've almost lost my place in the questions. I mean, what a story that would happen, that he was able to forgive his wife and his brother.
56 years. And his brother. Wow. Yeah.
And how does his brother do at this point? I mean, he's raising his brother's child. Is the brother participating in any sort of way on that, or?
Well, no, his brother had his own family to raise.
Yes. So he just figured, okay, fine. Well, she's in your tribe. That's okay. Enough said, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Daniel doted on Jemima Boone. And in fact, there's one of the great adventures in the book. And you know, we were glad to find out that we could corroborate it with all kinds of evidence, and that it was a true story and not legend. Is that when his daughter Jemima, and this took place in July 1776, his daughter Jemima, I think, was 13 or 14 at the time, and she's with two friends who are sisters in a canoe that happens to go across the river and bump into the other bank, and suddenly these Indians spring out and kidnap the girls and whisk them away. And Boone it's a great adventure story because the girls are, especially Jemima, she's very, very smart. She keeps leaving signs in her wake, you know, like footprints, or she'll break a branch here off a tree or a bush, or there's other ways that she's giving. She knows her father will come for her. And so she's leaving trails, almost like breadcrumbs. So that, and that's what he does. He spends days on the trail of his Indians and the girls as they're being brought deeper into Indian country. And sure enough, he finds them and rescues all three girls and brings them back. It's a great adventure story, and it's partly on this story that James Fenimore Cooper based his book, The Last of the Mohicans.
Interesting. Blood and Treasure is the title of his latest book. We've got more from Tom Clavin on the other side of the
break. How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a
a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient. The VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and 3 beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my 5th concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Tom Clavin continues. He and Bob Drury have done it again with Blood and Treasure. Daniel Boone and the fight for America's first frontier. So much that you shared with us about Daniel Boone. The basic aspect of his character, and I say his character just as a person. What are people going to be most surprised in learning about Daniel Boone that maybe they didn't quite understand because of movies and previous depictions? We touched on some, but you know, the heart of Daniel Boone, who was he, Tom?
Well, you know, I mentioned that he was a devoted family husband and family man, so that was very much a part of his character, and it was very much part of his character that he liked the isolation and mystery of the woodlands. But I think, and this comes up a lot in the book, it's his relationship with the Indian tribes. You know, he was not like many men of his time. Many men of his time, white men of his time, saw Indians as subhuman, the term that was often used was savages. There's even a quote from Thomas Jefferson in our book that says that the best way to deal with them, the Indians, is to exterminate them. And he did not have that viewpoint at all. First of all, when he was young and growing up, especially when a family moved to the edge of North Carolina on the front, what was the frontier then, he was interacting on a regular basis, on a daily basis, with members of Indian tribes. And he came to really admire their intelligence and the way that they found ways to survive in the forest. And they taught him how to survive in the forest. And all throughout his life, he would have sometimes, let's face it, you know, he was in a life or death situation. There were times in his stories in the book of him barely escaping death at the hands of Indians. But on the other hand, he had a respect for their intelligence, and he had a respect for their way of life and their culture and their own family dynamics. He was even, there's a part in the book where he's adopted by a Shawnee couple. And he becomes their adopted son, and he lives with them. And so I think that's something that I think is an enlightening aspect of the book, that Daniel Boone was not somebody who said, okay, I'm going to come into your territory and kill you and take your territory. Now, to be fair, he was leading settlers into across the mountains, through the mountains, and then into what became Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, places like that. And they were gradually displacing the Indian tribes who lived there. But Boone didn't have to do this with the attitude of, this is ours, you get out. He was like, this is the way things are, the way things are going to be. I can't stop it, but I could try and do it as humanely as possible.
Right. Well, and there's a lot to be said with him being adopted by a Native American family that would really alter his, you know, his worldview about, you know, you could say, you know, the environment, you know, the land, the property, the, you know, even the spiritual heartbeat of Native Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is, to me, is just quite a study in and of itself.
Yeah, and in this particular case about the adopted parents, you know, he found out that the Shawnee tribe that he was living with, they were gonna attack this fort in Kentucky that was actually named Boonesboro. He had founded the fort like 3 years earlier,
right.
and it gave him a bit of a dilemma because he realized he really had no choice, but he had to escape. He had to leave his adopted parents and community. And there's one of the main adventures of the book is he 160 miles he travels in like 2 days. He rode a horse until a horse just died under him, and he just ran through the forest the rest of the way, getting to the fort just in time to warn them, listen, you know, there's several hundred Indians on the way. Let's protect ourselves. And that became what was known as the Siege of Boonesboro, which is one of the climactic moments in the book.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you know, what a conflicted character in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding the Native American, living with them, raised, influenced by his adopted parents, but yet having to deal with progress. How do you reconcile that? That's tough.
It was tough for him, you know. But he was an intelligent man. Now, I don't know if you would have sat him down and he would have passed the, you know, the PSATs to get into high school. But but he was a very intelligent man. He knew he could always take the temperature of his times, of the civilization they lived in, and he could see the way things were changing because it was just the way things were that you had white people who had been living in the original 13 colonies, most of which were on the East Coast, and they were thirsting for adventure and for new lands to settle and places to be founding farms and towns and things like that. So, you know, he knew that this was, you know, when he led his explorations and people followed him, he knew that they were going to go across, you know, through those gaps in the mountains and to the places like Kentucky and Ohio, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And he led them because he hoped to be that kind of bridge between the two civilizations. In many cases, he was a natural born leader. You know, a lot of the people who encountered him really looked up to him. And if he had an admiration and respect for the Indians, he tried to pass that along to other people, too.
Mm-hmm. And for him, in terms of, you know, being away from his family, I mean, this was like his job, wasn't it? I mean, this is how he provided for his family, going out there and hunting and engaging with the wilderness, right?
Yes, you know, that's a good point. I mean, it wasn't that he went on these long hunts and long adventures and explorations because he just was restless. He needed a vacation. You know, I'm going to go on vacation, honey. I'll be back in 3 months.
Right, exactly. Don't worry, my brother will take care of you, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. If he didn't borrow a cup of sugar, see my brother. And often in the company of, like I say, a brother, a different brother, one that wasn't hanging around his wife, and or other frontiersmen who someone had some fame, like Daniel Morgan and Simon Kenton, some of the others, they would go off on these long hunts because they had to come back with furs and with meat and with buffalo hides and things like that. I mean, one of the interesting things about the book is when Daniel Boone was first arriving in Kentucky and Tennessee, he was hunting buffalo. People think of buffalo as a Wild West kind of thing, you know, on the other side of the Missouri River. There were all kinds of buffalo that were on the eastern part of the United States. Eventually, they got hunted into extinction. But Daniel Boone was doing this because that was the way he supported his family. He couldn't run a farm, really. You picture Daniel Boone behind a plow for months at a time. That wasn't him.
Right.
The way he supported his family is he would go hunt and bring back the fruits of those hunts.
Yeah. Well, what a fascinating
man and story, and even in dealing with the idea that here you've got east heading west, and, you know, being conflicted with what kind of impact this would have. I got to imagine that he probably tried to have conversations with those that he was leading westward to give them a little bit of understanding of the Native American.
Well, he did, and sometimes that was constructive, and sometimes it was not. It was falling on deaf ears. And, you know, to be realistic about it, you know, there was a lot of friction on the frontier between the Native Americans and the white settlers. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, this is your hunting ground for generations, and suddenly people are turning it into farms. Or they're hunting as much, if not more, than you. And there's more of them every time you turn around, there seems to be more of them. Mm-hmm. So some Indians, some tribes said, you know what, we can't stem this tide. Let's just pack up and move farther west. We'll let the white man have our former hunting grounds. We'll go find some more. But there were some tribes and some Indian leaders who said, no, we're not leaving. This is our territory. We're going to fight for it. So even though on the one hand, Boone was preaching that the Indians are people to be respected, on the other hand, some of these people were losing family members who were being killed in battle.
Sure. Well, and you get back to that initial idea that you and I talked in the previous break and our previous segment, is that when you start looking at people less than and through the purview of them being savages, then you justify in your own mind and consciousness their lack of viability. And, you know, you can extinguish them without any kind of, you know, conscience.
Yeah, I mean, to many people of the time, the Indian people were not fighting for their where they had lived for, like I say, for generations. They were simply in the way, you know, and that was the beginning and end of it. They were in the way, and they had to be getting out of the way. Now, if they took themselves out of the way themselves, then fine, get out. You know,
right.
don't let the door hit, don't let the forest door hit you on the way out. But one way or the other, they had to be moved out of the way because, you know, there were more white people crossing the mountains and coming into areas like Kentucky and the Ohio Valley and Tennessee, and they needed this land, and you know, either you get out of the way or you pay the consequences. So you know, that's an important part of the book, and just very quickly, another important part of the book that surprised people is how important a part that Daniel Boone played the American Revolution. You know, that's totally overlooked by other histories, and certainly by, you know, TV shows and films and stuff like that. But Daniel Boone he established a fort in Kentucky, and when the British decided to try for a second front to attack Washington from the west, they had to get through Boonesboro first, and the siege of Boonesboro was one of the most important battles of the Revolutionary War that most people had never heard of it, and that's an important part of our book.
Well, this must have been fun to research and to peel back the onion on it, and you've done a great job, you and Bob Drury, once again, in working together to present, you know, the story of Daniel Boone, so much of it that we hadn't heard before. In Blood and Treasure, Daniel Boone and the Fight for America's First Frontier. Book available at all the usual places, right, Tom?
It is, but all the usual places. Now, please support your local bookstore. I'm sure they could use your help.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially in this era. Yeah, we definitely want to encourage our audience to do that. And we'll link the book on our website as well at BillMartinezShow.com. Tom, you're the best. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
You got it. Tom Clavin right here with us on BillMartinezShow.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of...